Psalm 22, page 554, and we're going to begin at verse 1. For the director of music, to the tune of the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to their dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Well, in a moment, Chris is going to come and speak to us from Psalm 22 and from the second part of these verses. But before he does, our third hymn this morning, Amazing Grace. And please stand as the music starts.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and a very happy Easter. I've not said that to you already this morning. And on Friday morning, when we were here for our Good Friday gathering, we thought about the first 21 verses of Psalm 22, this famous Psalm of David that James has just read for us. It'll be helpful, I think, these next few minutes, if you have that open in front of you there on page 554. This kingly psalm of suffering, the first verse of which Jesus took to his lips on the cross. A psalm which therefore, as we thought about earlier, gives us real insight into the experience of the events of that first Easter. And we thought on Friday about two major aspects of that. We thought about the trauma and the trust involved. Well, this Easter morning, we're going to think about the rest of the psalm. We're going to think about verses 22 to 31. And we're going to think about another major aspect, another major T, which I will tell you about in a moment. Because first, I want to show you some pictures. And I want to see if you can help me to work out what is going on in these pictures. Okay? So, we've got the first picture. Okay, can anyone tell me what is going on? Or put your hand up if you think you might know. What is going on in that picture? What are they doing? Why are they doing it? Anyone got any ideas? Go on then, Jude.
There's
a picture from a Grand Prix, but I thought Grand Prix had cars and stuff involved. There's no cars. What's happening? It's already finished, and what's happened?
They're celebrating.
Okay, all right, very good. Let's have a look at the next picture then. Thank you, Jude. Very good. Right, now what's going on here? Anybody know? What is that picture of? What might be going on there? Daniel?
They're having a fancy party.
They are having a fancy party. That's right, they're having a fancy party. Do any of the slightly older people in the room know what fancy party it is?
It's Will Smith.
And what's that called, Jason?
That's called the Oscars.
It's called the Oscars. That's right. Fortunately, those people are slightly happier than Will Smith. They are celebrating at the Oscars. Very good. Okay, let's have a look at the next picture. Okay. Who's this? What's going on? What's going on here? Does anybody know?
Peppa Pig.
You're right, James. And what's going on? What's Peppa doing? What's Peppa doing, do you think, James?
A party.
Yeah, there's some bunting, so maybe she's having a party. What do you think, Gloria? What's Peppa doing?
Doing a race.
I think you're right. I think they've done some sort of race. They've got prizes. They've got trophies. Very good. Okay, we're doing very well. Next picture, please. Okay, what's going on here? Daniel? France winning the World Cup. That's exactly right. A few years ago, got another World Cup coming up later this year, but that is France winning the World Cup. And I think we've got one more picture. I know, this is a bit more of a challenge for you. For the young ones. Does anyone know what is happening here? Jason? That is very good. Are you an avid viewer, Jason?
No.
That is the latest winner of Mastermind. I must confess, I've forgotten her name. But she's the oldest ever winner of Mastermind. She's a lady who lives in the Peak District and whose specialist subject on Mastermind was the Peak District. Which I thought was very clever. Seemed like a shrewd decision to begin with. There we go. Now, so we've seen a few pictures there. Can anybody spot the connection between those pictures? What have all those pictures got in common? Lydia? Celebrating. Good. They're all pictures of people celebrating. That's right. They don't know why were they all celebrating? Because they'd won. That's right. They were all people celebrating because they'd won some sort of victory. some sort of triumph. That is our third T for this weekend, for Psalm 22. That's our T for this morning, triumph. That's what we're thinking about, the triumph of Easter. That's what David is talking about in this closing section of Psalm 22. After the struggle and the suffering comes the spectacular exuberance, the excitement of victory and vindication. After the trauma comes the triumph. And we see that in the way that people respond here in Psalm 22. Now I'm going to read again for us Psalm 22, verses 22 and 23. And I don't know if there's... And yeah, that's right. I'm going to read again for us. If you can look down at verses 22 and 23. And here's what I want you to listen and look out for. I want to know what different responses there are in these verses. Okay? What different things that either David's going to do or he thinks other people should do. Now, if you hear one, I don't want you to put your hand up because I'm going to have my head down reading. So I want you to shout out. In fact, what I want you to shout out is, whoop, whoop. Okay? Very good. Very good, James. So if you hear a response, something that David's going to do or he thinks other people are going to do, then I want you to shout, whoop, whoop. Okay? Have we got that? If you hear something that people are supposed to do in response. Okay? Here we go. I will declare your name to my people. That's a very quiet one there. Someone was a bit shy about that. Don't need to be shy about it. I know for some of you, you're thinking this does not feel very church-like. Don't worry about that. Don't be shy. That was our first one. David says he will declare God's name to his people. Okay, so there's the first one. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. Very good. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him. All you descendants of Israel. Very good. We're doing very well here. There's lots in there, isn't there? Declare his name, praise him. Sorry, we've stopped now. Let's calm down. Steady on. David says, you declare his name, he's going to praise him, he calls on other people to praise him, to honour him, to revere him. That's what David thinks people ought to do in response. Now that's the sort of things that people still do now when people win a great victory, when they have a great triumph. And just at the back, you won't have known this, but while we were singing Amazing Grace, two people came in the back of church, a little bit sheepishly, to say, could we borrow your toilet? Because they've driven down all the way from Yorkshire and they were wearing bright blue and red striped shirts. So anyone know why might there have been some people, I don't know why they've driven down from Yorkshire, but some people today in this part of London wearing bright blue and red striped shirts. Erica?
Crystal Palace.
They were Crystal Palace supporters, that's quite right. And they've driven down, they really needed the toilet apparently. So they've gone to Wembley today, they're on their way to watch their team play in the FA Cup semi-final. Maybe you saw some of the game that was on yesterday. And if we were there today, or if you watched it on the telly today, you would hear people singing and chanting some of the players' names, declaring their names to others. You'd hear them praising them, honouring them. When they run out on the pitch, they go, wow, there they are. Did you see what they did? They revere them. That's because they're winning at some sort of sport. But why in Psalm 22, why at Easter, are we being called on to do that for God, to declare his name, to praise him, to honour him, to revere him? Well, let's have a look at verse 24. That's going to tell us. In verse 24... David says, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Okay, so that verse tells us that we're to praise because even though God's king, even though Jesus suffered, that's what it means there when it says the afflicted one. Someone who is afflicted is someone who suffers. Even though when he died on the cross, Jesus suffered, God didn't hide from him. God heard him. God helped him. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that on the cross, God heard Jesus and that God helped him? Well, because what happened on the first Easter Sunday proves it. Because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again, as we remember, on this day each year. When Jesus rose from the dead, it proved that his suffering wasn't just a tragic trauma, but was a key part in his ultimate triumph. So that's why Easter we remember and we praise God. We praise Jesus. We sing his name like we've done this morning. But in the next few verses of Psalm 22, we learn more about Jesus' triumph. Because as well as seeing that it's a cause for praise and celebration, we see who it's a cause for celebration for. Now, verse 25 talks about the great assembly. It talks about those who fear God. It's talking about God's people, those who trust and who follow him. But who are those people? What kind of people are they? Well, let's have a look through. Now, I want you, particularly the youngsters, but everybody as well, I want you to put on your spotting spectacles, because we're going to have to look closely now. I'm going to read from verse 26 for us. And again, if you spot a different kind of person being talked about, so some way of describing a different kind of person, then I want you to shout out, okay? I want to hear a few more whoop whoops, okay? So that's what we're listening out for, that's what we're trying to spot. From verse 26 onwards, different kinds of people being talked about. Okay? Have we got that? Okay. The poor. There we go. Very good. The poor, those who don't have much in this world. David says this is good news for them. He says the poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord. Very good. Those who seek the Lord, David says, will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth. Very good. All the ends of the earth, he says. In verse 27 and 28, he says, for dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over all nations. Jesus said when he went up into heaven to his disciples that he was going to send them to all the ends of the earth. So that anyone, no matter where they came from, no matter who their family is, no matter what language they speak, no matter what colour they skin, they can all join in the celebration and the triumph of Jesus. Let's pick it up again at verse 29. All the rich of the earth. Very good. So we had the poor in verse 26. We've got the rich in verse 29. Those who have lots in this world, David says they too can enjoy the feast, the great party, because of Jesus' triumph. Let's pick it up again halfway through verse 29. All who go down to the dust. Very good. All who go down to the dust. David's talking about people who die. And that matters because that's all of us. But Jesus' triumph is a triumph even over death. So that's not a barrier to joining in and being involved in the celebration. Verse 30, posterity will serve him. Future generations. Very good. Future generations, verse 31, talks about a people yet unborn. The triumph of Easter isn't just good news for people at one point in time in history, but for anyone, whenever they are alive. Do you see what David's saying? It's for all. Whoever, anyone, everyone. Jesus' triumph is for all the world. It is for all of us here this morning, whoever we are. It's for all, and it's forever. I don't know if you spotted that as we went through those verses. David says what might seem like some pretty big, bold things to say. In verse 26, he says, "The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever." And then in verse 29, he says, "All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive." David seems to think that what God is going to do through the trauma, the trust, and the triumph of his king is going to be something that leads to, that makes possible what might seem impossible, eternal life. People living forever with God. Now, in this world, as we look, it looks like hearts don't live forever. People who can't keep themselves alive, as David talks about in verse 29, well, they don't live. But after the trauma of Good Friday, the triumph of Easter Sunday shows us that yes, they do. Because Jesus defeated death and rose again. And so all those that trust in Jesus know that death is beaten. It is done. Finished. Over. That's why after that first Easter, those who were there, those who saw, and so those who were sure went and told everyone and anyone. They went to the ends of the earth and down through the generations, telling anybody who would listen about the triumph of Jesus for them. So that here in Stanmore, and so that in every far reach of the globe this morning, people like us might hear and know that God has won. That sin is forgiven. That the debt is paid. That the sentence has been served. And that beyond life, life forever awaits. Because we can join the celebration. As Psalm 22 verse 31 proclaims, and as that proclaiming goes on, they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that the Lord Jesus has indeed done it. That he has paid the penalty for sin by dying on the cross. And that he has demonstrated that sin and death is a defeated enemy by rising again on that first glorious Easter Sunday. We thank you that the triumph of Christ is wonderful news, is a cause for celebration for us. Because he went for us. Because in his death we find forgiveness, and in his resurrection we find life eternal. Please help us to rejoice today and to trust Jesus from this day forth. And we ask this in his name. Amen.